Jesus Christ was more of human than we can be. But while he was absolutely perfectly human, he was always, never endingly, consistently, and eternally Almighty God.
Welcome to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. For most of us, the last few days have been filled with preparations for the joyful Christmas season. Parties and presents, decorations and dinners have occupied much of our thinking. In the middle of all the festivities, even well-meaning Christians can lose sight of what all the celebration is truly about. Today, Dr. Stanley poses a question that every person needs to evaluate, especially at this time of year. Who is the baby in the manger? If you'd like to become better equipped to discuss the significance of Christ's birth with an unbeliever, then listen carefully. Dr. Stanley focuses our attention now on a night to be remembered.
Now, if you should ask people today, you walk along the streets of America somewhere, anywhere, and say to someone in some big city, tell me, what's Christmas all about? I wonder how many of them would even mention the name Jesus today. We think because we've had the Bible all these years, and we've been saved a long time, and God's worked in our lives, we think, well, everybody who's got a Bible ought to know what this is all about. Everybody who's been around a long time ought to know what this is all about. There are people who live in this country who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ one time. They don't listen to religious radio. They don't turn on religious programs on the television. They have no earthly idea what the heart of Christmas is all about. And so if you ask them, you get answers like this. Well, Jesus Christ, he was one of the religious figures of history. Or someone would say, well, he's the founder of Christianity. Or someone would say, well, Jesus is one of those teachers whose theme primarily was love. Be good to your neighbor and do good to others. I wonder how many of them would say, who is Jesus? He's the Son of the Most High God. He's man's Savior. He's the Messiah. He's our only hope. I wonder how many people would say that to us. Probably not very many. Do you know how much you take for granted? What you know, what you've experienced, what you've heard, what you've been able to enjoy all the years of your life, because somewhere along the way somebody told you what it was all about. So when I think about who this is, I want to make very clear, because I know that many people understand who Jesus is, but the vast majority of the world does not. Because we get letters all the time of people who say, well, I'm beginning for the first time in my life to understand who Jesus is. Please keep explaining who he is so I'll understand him better. Well, I want you to turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. Because when we begin to understand who Jesus is, you go back to Philippians chapter 2. And here in the prison, the Apostle Paul gives us an insight into who Jesus is. And then I want to explain a particular word. Because I want you to walk away from where you are today understanding what really happened that night. Who is this who became the focal point of history when all time, the measurement of time, centers around this particular birth? A night certainly to be remembered forever. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, when Paul is speaking of our attitude and in the process of doing that, here's what he says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although, listen to this, he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Now, go back, if you will, in verse 6. Speaking of Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, a thing to be grasped, held on to, but emptied himself. What did he empty himself of? Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, humbling himself even to death. Now listen to this word. The word is incarnation. When somebody talks about incarnation, here's what that means. It means that the eternal Son of God took upon himself an additional nature, which is the nature of humanity, through the virgin birth. It means that the eternal Son of God took upon himself an additional nature, human nature, through the virgin birth. Now, what does that mean? When he says he took upon himself the form of God, you see, the reason this night is the focal point of history and a night to be remembered is this. That night, God came to earth in the birth of the Son of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, taken upon himself human flesh, taken upon himself human nature, and becoming a man. Now, to be sure we understand what that means. When I think of Jesus Christ taking upon himself humanity, the only kind of humanity that Jesus Christ could have taken upon himself was the pure, sinless humanity that Adam had before he fell. So that a person cannot say to you, well, Jesus Christ was deity, but he laid aside his deity and became man. No, he did not. And I want to say that again, lest somebody misunderstand what I say. Jesus never laid aside his deity. He simply added his human nature to his deity so that when he walked among men, at no time was he ever less God than he was when he was with the Father. He was fully human, and the truth is he was more human than you and I can be. Because Jesus Christ took upon himself absolute, perfect, pure humanity, untarnished and unblemished by sin. You and I are human indeed, but we have our frailties, we have our weaknesses, we have our faults, we have our sinfulness that has certainly marked our heart, marked our mind, marked our wills, marked our emotions, marked our spirit, and marked our body. Jesus Christ was more of human than we can be. But while he was absolutely perfectly human, he was always, never-endingly, consistently, and eternally Almighty God. So that when you and I look in that manger, we're not just seeing a baby born of a woman. We're talking about God who took upon himself human flesh, lived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was born into this world, born both God and man, having never ceased to be God at any time in his life. Think about this. He never ceased to be God, always God. Why do you put such emphasis on that? Because here's the reason. If that isn't true, Christianity is on the same level with every other religion in the world. There is absolutely no difference. Only God, in his perfect humanity and perfect deity, could die for your sins and my sins and pay our sin debt in full. It is the basic foundational tenet of everything you and I believe. That Jesus Christ, that babe in that manger, was not just a baby. He was absolutely, perfectly, eternally, and always God who took upon himself human flesh. That's the reason that you and I can come to him with assurance and confidence that whatever we bring to him, he is absolutely able to handle it because he is God. He is not just a baby. Amen? Now, well, you say, well, what evidence is there in the Scripture that he was God? Well, there are many evidences, but let me just mention three of them. One of them certainly is this, and that is the fact that the Bible says he was pre-existent. Jesus Christ is the pre-existent eternal Son of God. That is, before creation ever began, Jesus Christ was certainly in existence. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image, certainly included the Trinity. And then if you recall what Jesus said in the 8th chapter, look in the 8th chapter of John for a moment. And he was continually identifying who he was, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were always arguing about him. And you recall, the thing that they hated him most for was the fact that he claimed to be who he was, the Son of the living God. And you recall, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They could not stand that. And I mean, this one right here tore them to shreds when he said, listen, verse 57 of chapter 8 of John. The Jews therefore said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now listen. When people say to you, now look, don't give me this religious bit. I believe Jesus was a good man, but I don't believe he was God. No, listen, if he's not God, he can't be a good man. Well, why can't he be a good man? He healed people, he taught them, he raised it. Anybody who does, that's a good man. No. Listen, if he's not God, he's not a good man. Why he's not a good man? Because if he's not God, he's a liar. He's a counterfeit and a liar and an imposter. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Before Abraham was, he said, before Abraham was, I am. That is, I am. And why does he say, I am? Jesus never says, I was, I am, I will be. I am. I am in eternity past, I am today, and I am in eternity future. Never a time when he did not exist. He is the eternal I am. The Sadducees, the Pharisees hated him to no end because he claimed to be the living God. Micah, in that fifth chapter, for example, and that's one of those little prophets back here, if you'll go back. Go over, to, if you will, to Micah chapter 5, and listen to what he says in verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem of Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be ruler of Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. The prophets prophesied not only his virgin birth, but that he was the eternal Son of God. So one of the certainly the evidences of the fact that he is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, is that he's pre-existent. A second evidence, certainly, is the fact, when you and I think about who he is and what he did in life and all the things that when you look at the Gospels and begin to examine how he lived among men, certainly one of the things that he would continually say was this. He would talk about his relationship to the Father. If you take a concordance and go through and write down all the references to Jesus' reference to his relationship to the Father. I am the Father of one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do those things I see the Father doing, continually referring to his relationship to the Father. Jesus Christ, listen, he must be God. One of the evidences that he's God is the fact of his personal relationship with the Father. I'm going to read you a couple of the verses here. Look to John chapter 17. Which is his prayer before the night of his crucifixion. In two of these verses, he makes statements here that says, either Jesus Christ is God, or again, he's a liar, an impostor, and a fraud, and a counterfeit. And I'm here to tell you, he is the eternal Son of the living God. Listen to what he says in this 17th chapter. He's praying for his disciples and praying about them and knowing that he's going to face death the next day. And fourth verse says, I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Listen, Jesus Christ is saying, talking to the Father and talking about, he says, restore unto me this glory that you and I had together before the world was. Look, if you were in the 24th verse. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me wherever I am, in order that they may behold my glory, see my glory, which you have given me, for you didst love me before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, certainly existing before the world ever began. And listen, his high eternal estate, sitting at the right hand of the Father today, this isn't just some baby born back yonder. This is God, clothed in human flesh, walking among men. And so he came, and he sits at the right hand of the Father today to make intercession for every single one of us. He's always been God. He is God, forever will be God. His estate in his glorious relationship with the Father in eternity past, today, and forever says he must be God or he cannot be a truthful man. One certainly of the evidences of his deity, of his being God, is certainly the way he expressed and exercised his miraculous power in his day. Now you say, but weren't there a lot of miracle workers in his day? Well, there were lots of folks carrying on all kinds of miracle ideas, but think about this. He walked among men, and what did he do? He was never too busy for those who were sick and downtrodden. He gave hearing to people who could not hear. He touched lepers. Nobody would touch a leper. He would touch a leper and cleanse that leper. He would raise people from the dead. And here is this, listen to this, here's this awesome Son of the living God. Here's God who did not, listen, who did not express all of his glory. And the only thing he laid aside was the brilliance and the radiance and all that was wrapped up in his glory. He never laid aside his deity. Here is God walking among men who are sick and people who are dying. And think about this. This God who came into the world, listen, in order to save mankind, to absolutely revolutionize the hearts of men, to absolutely change history, to be the core of all of history and the heart of all of time. Here's the kind of man this God is. He would stop, sit down and say, bring those children to me. Bring those children to me. No doubt pat them on the head, put his cheek against theirs, talk to them in a language that they could understand. Why was it the kids were attracted to Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because out of those eyes of love and compassion, out of that heart of joy, out of that caring, beautiful concern of the Son of God who would never become an earthly father, he had the joy and the love and the compassion that drew them like a magnet. Listen, drew those children to him. They loved being around him. Can you imagine sitting on the lap of the Son of God? Can you imagine sitting in the lap of Almighty God himself? That's who this is that is lying like a baby in a manger. He is not just another baby. He is the eternal Son of the living God. We must never forget it. But you see, we've covered it up. How many people at Christmas time talk about worshiping the Son of God? Now, there have been a lot of churches that are full on Christmas Eve with people who never go to church. And many fill with people who go to church every Sunday. Thank God for that. I'm simply asking you this. If this is what Christmas is all about, at your home, has he been covered up with a conversation that never mentions him? Has he been covered up with things? Nothing wrong with things. But has he been so covered up with things that on Christmas morning, everybody's so excited about everything that oftentimes his name is never mentioned in a Christian home on Christmas morning? You see, when I understand what that night's all about, it's a whole different story. But my friend, you've got to face it. He's no longer in the manger. He's the living God seated at the Father's right hand. And here's what that means. You see, one of the things that's so significant about that night is everything changed. Because now, you and I have to decide what we're going to do with him. And we have three alternatives. One of these three alternatives, you've already chosen. One alternative with this Jesus is to ignore him. Keep him in the manger. He's just a baby. Forget it. And ignore him. You can ignore him, and this is what you can expect. You will one day die and stand before this same Jesus, the Son of the living God, who came to earth in your behalf, and he will judge you because you ignored him when he sent you so many messages attempting to get your attention to give you life eternal. You'll stand before him and be judged by him and eternally separated from him. That's one choice. Or you could do like many other people who don't ignore him, but they evaluate, they think about it, they read about it, they listen to sermons, they watch, they hear tapes, their friends try to testify to them, and they deliberately and willfully say no. What can you expect? You can expect the same thing. To one day stand in the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, and give an account for your life and be eternally separated from God because you deliberately, willfully, knowingly rejected Christ, your only hope of life eternal. Thank God there's one other alternative. You can acknowledge your sinfulness. You can say, I do believe the witness of Scripture, what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ, that he is the eternal Son of God. I do believe that he was born of a virgin and that he grew up to be a man, as other men, only sinless and perfect, that he was indeed God, that when he went to the cross of Calvary, he died for my sin, and the Father placed all my sin upon him. And when he died, he paid my sin debt in full. And you can accept that truth as true. You can receive personally by faith Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Master, your Lord. Simply confessing your sin and your inadequacy, your hopelessness and your helplessness, saying to Him, Lord Jesus, I do accept You as my Savior, my Lord and my Master, and receive the gift of eternal life in that very moment, sealed as a child of God forever and ever and ever. These are your three choices. And you know what? Every single one of us has chosen one of those. Which one have you chosen? Let me just say this to you. That was not just another night. A night that will be eternally remembered, because that's the night God invaded humanity. It became the focal point of human history because everything up until that time is gauged in time B.C., before Christ. Everything after that, A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. All of time surrounds the birth of the Son of God. No one has ever had the impact upon humanity, nor will they ever have the impact upon humanity that Jesus has had. Even though He never traveled very far from home. He never wrote a book. He never held a political office. He never had any wealth. And He never marched any armies. He was the living Son of God. But He forgave men of their sin. He transformed men's lives. He took the most violent aggressor the church had ever known by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Saved him on the Damascus Road, transformed him into a flaming evangelistic missionary who transformed the world of his day. And the world has been being transformed ever since. This is who Jesus is. This is what Christmas is all about. He's not only the reason for the season. He's the reason for our joy, our peace, our happiness, and our eternal assurance.
Once we really understand who Jesus is, it's so much easier for us to accept what He said about Himself as the truth. And we trust that the truths Charles Stanley shared today will broaden your perception of Christmas, and that you'll be able to see the child in the manger as so much more than a baby. You'll see Him as the sovereign of the universe, God with us. If you are challenged and encouraged by Dr. Stanley's teaching on this radio program, then you'll also be interested in another avenue that leads to spiritual growth, and that's the In Touch magazine. This free publication will help you discover how Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. Each issue contains instructive articles by In Touch speaker Dr. Charles Stanley. There's also a section that each day encourages you to read, think about, and apply the truths of God's Word. To receive this resource at your home, mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Our internet address is intouch.org. The angels announced Christ's birth as good news of great joy, but many believers have allowed commercialism to obscure the significance of this holy event. Renew your sense of great joy as you join Charles Stanley tomorrow for the Christmas Eve edition of In Touch. Charles Stanley's teaching is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.